How now, Brown Cow?
Welcome back to Scribbling Rivalry, the podcast where friends and family like to come together to connect over various fandom.
Happy Thanksgiving to you from
your co-hosts, Ian Walter and
Lady Victoire.
Okay, I'm walking Sally the second after we finished Halloween 2018. And not gonna lie, it's a very spooky night. It's Hallow's Eve or the night before Halloween. I actually don't know if that's what Hallow's Eve is. The moon has fog over it. It's dark. No one's here, of course. But everyone's house is decorated for Halloween. So I pretty much feel like Michael Myers could just kill me right now.
Okay, we are officially back. I just wanted to start off with that walk that I just took Sally on was terrifying.
Was it?
Yeah, like
spooky October. Literally,
it was so scary. So for some context, we just watched Halloween 2018 for the first time for me.
The end of the French.
Yeah, we wish. And the first time for me, obviously not for Ian or Sir Walter. I don't remember how we. No, we
just Lady Victoire.
Lady Victoire. Sir Walter. Walk outside. Anyway, I did take a recording. Like, it was terrifying. I think I heard like a werewolf and then a baby crying. It was all too
Whoa.
Much.
I hope it came out on the recording. Sometimes those things don't make it in.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. I just wanted to say that.
We've been on a bit of a Halloween kick lately because, well, Spooky October speaks for itself. But we started this podcast 3 years ago in October. We tend to lean towards the spooky, the horror movies that we love. And Halloween is a classic slasher film that cannot be ignored. It came out in 1978. And a lot of what makes up the Halloween franchise is the stuff that inspired one of our favorite horror movies, Scream. So we get a lot of good stuff, and in a weird circular way, we get Scream inspired by Halloween, and now the new iterations of Halloween are in turn inspired by the stuff that we love from Scream. So there's a lot of greatness, there's a lot of goofiness, because Halloween is one of the biggest horror franchises, and also one of the most complicated or intricate in terms of its timelines, because we had 1978 and the follow-up Halloween Part 2, were initially gone on to make countless sequels. But then when we recently watched H2O, 20 years later, it came out in 98. It was Dimension Films. It was Miramax, you know, same studio that brought us Scream and Scream 2 in 96 and 97. And then in 98, we get Halloween H2O, and Jamie Lee Curtis is coming back. But they're ignoring all of the Halloween sequels except for the first two. So this makes it a bit of a trilogy. And now what we're faced with, as we just finished Halloween 2018, is another scenario where they're going back to the well of the original Halloween and ignoring everything that came after it. So 2018 is a direct follow-up to the original Halloween without any of the crazy, convoluted stuff that happened in between. So it's just a 40 years later, second coming of Michael Myers.
It's funny that you mentioned that about Miramax, and it's 98, so it's just a few years after Scream, and it's like, so was that a completely brand new director for H2O from obviously the other Halloweens? Like, you know what, let's start with, take us through what the hell, all in succession, all the Halloween movies, from your knowledge,
yeah, well,
does have to be accurate.
Before it became like a cult craze, it was basically just John Carpenter. He's an excellent composer. He did that classic spooky Halloween theme that we know and love from, you know, they keep bringing it back for all these reboots and remakes. But, yeah, like, that was John Carpenter, and he directed it. It makes me think of another Halloween special that we recently caught, which we can touch on too, which is Werewolf by Night, which is directed and composed by Michael Giacchino. So, It does add a lot to a horror film, as you can tell, like, with a good score, like, to make it that much more intense. And John Carpenter was all over that. So he made the original. And even though he directed a slew of these, and I'm sure at some point other directors came in, I'm not really well-versed on the directors, but it was definitely not John Carpenter who came back for H2O. Mm-hmm. Because that was 98. Mm-hmm. But he has done countless other horror films, as we know, but he was not involved in H2O. However, he did do the music for 2018, which we just watched.
Yeah.
But it was directed by 2018. Halloween was directed by David Gordon Green. And I will say this, as much as I enjoyed revisiting 2018, I do not recommend what comes after, which is Halloween Kills. And currently in theaters, Halloween Ends, which I haven't even seen. That's how much I didn't like Halloween Kills, because I think it just went off the rails and became something different that I wasn't used to from the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
But we're going to stick with what we just watched, which is, in my opinion, a good finale to the Halloween franchise.
Yeah, and I mean, on my side of things, for the listeners, just Ian really hates
Halloween Kills.
Like, really, I have not seen it, and I actually had the weirdest journey with Halloween, because I just recently got into it. I've watched the original years ago with my spooky, I love spooky things, but mainly I usually stick to what I know. I love Scream, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, I gotta see Halloween. Fine. I've forgotten about it. I go for this year, for some reason, I'm like, okay, Halloween, we look at all the trailers, me and my friend Nori, who also loves horror. Like, we look at the trailers for the Halloweens, and I'm like, H2O looks such a vibe. Like, that's the vibe I want. It's nostalgic. It's 90s. It's all pumpkins everywhere. It's almost like a mix of Scream and, like, Hocus Pocus. Like, yeah. It's just so that vibe just from the trailer. So we started there, and then I was like, oh, my God, next, please. The next one's the Rob Zombie one.
Which is a remake, right?
That's a remake?
Isn't it? Or is it a sequel?
Well, this is my... Okay, all I'm saying is it's all very confusing. But those two movies got me hooked. They have nothing to do with each other. They're nothing to do with the franchise. It's a very confusing franchise. Nothing like Scream, which makes total sense. in my opinion.
Scream is just on another level. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
but they only could have been here. Exactly. They only could get there with Halloween existing, thanks to John Carpenter. Yeah, and then there's that funny reference in Scream 1 where Tatum, Rose McGowan, she goes, she's, like, about to die from Ghostface in the garage, and she's like, oh, you want me to be, like, that chick in a Wes Carpenter film?
Yeah.
And it's, like, this, like,
Wes Craven, John Carpenter.
Yeah, it's so good.
Now, according to Google, which never lies, the film is a remake, so the 2007 Rob Zombie Halloween is a remake of the 1978 horror film of the same name.
Okay.
So they've remade it, but they've also done what I said is, like, make sequels to the original without really paying attention to what happened.
Oh, for sure. I haven't even watched the sequels. I think there's about five after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to H2O, right?
And then H2O is like doing direct... similar to what 2018 did.
Yes.
Is that it's dialing it back and really looking at making H2O like the end of a trilogy.
So I'm imagining any expert on Halloween that's listening right now is probably dying laughing, but any non-Halloween person is probably like, what is going on?
And that's the thing. If you wanted to get into Halloween, where do you start?
I say H2O. That's what I say.
But, like, in order to really appreciate that, you really have to watch the original.
For sure, for sure.
And then, technically, part two plays into H2O, and that's where 2018 comes in and makes it completely different, because it ignores part two. It sticks with what happened inside of the original, and it ignores everything about Laurie Strode being connected to Michael Myers via, like, bloodline, family bloodline.
Okay, that leads me to want to talk a little bit more about H2O and definitely, what's it called? The Rob Zombie one? Halloween.
It's just Halloween.
No, I think it's like Halloween Resurrection. Oh, Halloween Resurrection. No,
that one is technically a follow-up, I think, to H2O, which it should
have. Technically, is what I'm saying. So that's what I want to bring up. The beginning scene of Halloween Resurrection is Laurie in a psych ward because and we find out in the beginning scene of this that in H2O, the man she murdered at the end, where we're all cheering, it's Michael Myers. No, it was a cop. It was someone else.
Yeah, but he lives. That was the cool thing I liked about H2O is that it spun that at the end and spun it out into the fact that he actually survived.
The cop that she killed?
Yeah, it's Ronnie. It's LL Cool J.
No. Sorry. Like, okay, so the end of H2O, she literally, I think you're just forgetting because these are such unimportant movies to the franchise that I'm randomly obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, a squibbling rivalry right here, I would actually say that I would want to watch the original Halloween more because I've seen these. But my squib over here is saying that you should start from the original. I don't know. I disagree.
Anyways, but you, all I'm going to say... you want to watch it and not really know what...
No, I just want to go back because I'm like, oh, I want more of Michael Myers now.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't care.
You
watch
something and you're like, oh, they're referencing something that I don't understand. But
yeah,
that's
okay. True.
That's okay.
So what I'm saying is, so in H2O, Halloween 20 years later, at the end of the movie, Lori, her badass self, is... That's the best, too. None of this connected, but she is just connected because she's such a good actor. But she hunts him down. They have him arrested. Michael Myers is arrested. He's in the truck in his utility onesie and his mask. And she hunts that car down and she murders the shit out of this guy and Michael Myers. And he reaches out to her before. And it's like this moment of, oh my god, they're brother and sister. Right. Do you not remember this?
Yeah.
And it's very, I'm like, oh my god, is she going to grab his hand? No, she's going to murder him. Turns out, you go to the next movie, they do this weird beginning scene where she's in a psych ward. She's totally locked up. She's like, can't see any contact. She has a doll.
Yeah.
And the nurse is like, do you know what happened? Actually, she murdered like a cop. Because Michael Myers, the genius psycho, had put his shit on some cop and then he was arrested in the van and he was reaching out to say, it's not me, it's not him.
Okay.
And she murdered him. It was amazing. But
fair enough.
The thing is, I thought that scene was great. And then the movie goes into this whole MTV love fest, which is hilarious, and never goes back to that scene.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. So you're basically saying that Resurrection played with it a bit, so that if you had watched H2O face value, you would just think that it ended with her finally getting closure on Michael Myers. But
yes.
Resurrection is saying that, well, she didn't kill him. She killed a cop that was
going
to look
at
him.
Can I interject?
Now I understand what you're saying.
That's why I also think that those should be part of this timeline. I'm very frustrated that H2O and Resurrection are not part of the timeline. I thought they were great. I think that they should have been. But this is because I'm a Scream fan, so I think I'm just a bit.
Yeah, so,
I'm a bit of a millennial.
So I think that this is an interesting franchise to dive into from the beginning because, like you said, like if you're just going in release order, it can get really confusing. But if you pick and choose, like, what lane to stay in, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, having just finished H2O, I actually felt that maybe it's not to the level of 2018, but it does put a good wrap on, like, a Halloween trilogy, if you consider the original two films, and then H2O, and then forget about everything
else. Oh, totally, I agree with
it
that.
It seems like a good finish.
Oh, no,
finish.
I agree with that.
And then Resurrection was confusing. And then this movie that we just watched, in a way that Resurrection frustrated you with the choices that it made, like, If this was the end, if 2018 was just a two-part Halloween 1978 and Halloween 2018, I think it would have a cool ending to it. But I just don't really like the fact that they keep it going and they have this planned trilogy, but it's not a planned trilogy in the traditional sense because you have 2018, they just called Halloween, then you have Halloween Kills, and you have Halloween Ends. But that trilogy is built off of the original, so it's really four films, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just look at 1978 and 2018, 2018 is a very good homage and follow-up to the original.
Yeah.
And I really dug that about H2O as well. So there are definitely movies that you can handpick that you like more than others inside this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
We would love you to weigh in on whether you're familiar with the franchise, whether you have watched them, which ones are your favorites, which timeline you prefer. Or do you just like to watch them all? And
yeah, I need to hear way more opinion on this. I need more.
Because I think, like, it's one thing to kind of watch them all and judge. But, like, you know, at one point there was only one timeline. And then it started getting crazy in the 90s. And now there's, like, however many. It's just spun out of control. But this last one, the one that's in theaters right now, is called Halloween Ends. And I think both of us can agree. I don't think it's really going to end. Like,
well, and knowing
like
the way
Halloween
our media is,
so
no,
the end
for
of
sure.
time, right?
Exactly,
so,
yeah. On that note, I'm taking a pumpkin ale break.
Sounds good. We're drinking some pumpkin ale in the event that it is Hallows. It's, Devil's Night tonight?
Well, this is what I say on my recording earlier. I'm like, it's Hallows Eve. I don't actually know if that means the eve of Halloween or if it means Halloween.
Yeah, I think, like, it's, well, what we're trying to say is we're trying to drop this for Halloween. In respect that we started Squiggling Revelry in October of 2019, we're finally back. And we are doing spooky October vibes and watching some scary movies. In this case, Halloween, which is heavily inspired, as we mentioned, to the Scream franchise, which we know and love. So we can come back to Halloween if we'd like, but let's take a moment to talk about Scream. Scream has just released their fifth movie in 2022. They did not title, just like Halloween 2018, they just called it Scream 2022. Now, this is 26 years, technically, after the original, which is kind of crazy. Oh, this is
hilarious that you bring this up.
Which is kind of crazy to think that it's been 26 years, but also, it was technically 25 years and 25 days. So they would just miss the 25-year anniversary because they pushed it from December, which originally Scream was released in December of 1996. They pushed it to January of 2022. Making it 26 years, but it was exactly 25 years and 25 days.
I just had this, like, vision of, and we'll talk more about our frustrations, which is a huge part of our podcast, our frustrations.
I'll send you a copy.
I'll send you a copy. Bam. So, I just had a vision, as you were saying that, of the logo for Scream 2022. Instead, the S is, like, a 2, like, really artistic. And the A, wait.
A 5?
And then the, where's the 5? Oh, no, it doesn't work.
Are you trying to make it a stab?
I was trying to make it like 25, wasn't, I was trying to, well, Ian was originally being like, it should be Scream, like five cream. Like,
or 5 cream.
5 cream. Like,
and as, like, you might cringe at the idea of 5 cream, but it's less confusing.
They did it already.
Than calling it Scream.
But they did it already with, didn't they?
With
another
4?
Scream. Yeah, they put the A as a 4, I swear, in some of the marketing.
They probably did that.
I swear in some of the marketing for Scream 4, they put the A as a 4. So all I'm saying, yeah, they should have done that. And but I was just thinking before, I was like thinking, oh, it could have been like 25 in there or something. It doesn't matter.
No, but honestly, they should have tried something because just calling it Scream
no, it's dumb.
Makes no sense to me because clearly they're still, it's not like, you know, maybe this is a soft reboot, but they're still in the same timeline as the original Scream, so to call it Scream again.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. The Halloween thing, that's fine. It makes fine, it's fine sense because you're not in any timeline that you've agreed upon with your audience. Scream, you've set out a timeline for us. Don't you dare just be like, oh, it's Scream now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We're all alive still. Like it's in the 70s.
What I would have appreciated is drop the numbering system and start having like Scream colon, and I would have called it Scream colon stab 25 or something. Yeah. Like.
Oh, I just, as I said that, I was like, oh, we're all alive still. It's not the 70s. But obviously, people from the 70s are alive. But what I more meant was like, I'm just picturing like people like us, and like they're just fandom people of like Halloween. Like, they're probably very old now. If like in the 70s, the original one. Mm. Like, I would love to, I just love picturing like people that would be like recording on their little recording devices about like their thoughts on Halloween 1970. Like, oh, that's so cool.
So we're clearly on record for our lover Scream on this podcast. So I think what we should do is take this time while we're on the subject to rank our Scream films because there was a new one coming out. We know they've greenlit a 6th film. So Scream is not going anywhere. Are they going to start playing with timelines like Halloween did?
Well, here, okay, well. Well, yeah, we can rank them, but I just, yeah, and I also want to talk about our predictions for Scream 6. It's crazy that none of the OGs are in there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
Okay, top 5 Scream films, and start with your lowest.
Okay, so we're talking all 5?
Yep.
Oh, this is actually so hard for me. Do you know?
Yeah, I can kick it off, and I'm going to go with my least favorite. This is rough, but I think Scream 3.
No.
No?
Sorry, I'm not calling. Go
I
on.
Think, I, you know what? Like, it's go still on. Part of the original trilogy, but I think 1 and 2 have, like, are leagues above 3. And thinking about 4 and 5 more recently than 3, and having watched 3 recently, I do have a lot of love for 3, but I, you know, as much lengths as they went to wrap up the trilogy with the storyline and everything, I still think that there's a bit of a cleaner cut, a cleaner look to 4 and 5 that I appreciate more so than what we've given in 3.
I know, that and I think sense. I think I'm the person that's like a fan of that weirdness. That's why I like Resurrection for Halloween. Like, that's actually, when I was watching Resurrection, I was like, this is Scream 3.
Right.
Like, if anyone's seen both, like, I hope you understand that. Let me know.
And don't get me wrong, I love a lot about 3, but yeah. I think, you know what, it was tight between 3 and 4, and I think, like, the way they were able to bring it back with 4 impressed me more with what they did in the time between 2 and 3, if that makes
sense. Okay, so here's, yeah, you know what, I'm boring, and I'm gonna go, it's literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 4 and 5 are tied.
That's not boring, because, you know, you experienced the original, and I think we'd both argue, like, spoiler, like, that's going to be leagues above everything else.
Yeah.
But, like, as you consume them, it's like there's less and less to be surprised about with the screen.
No, yeah, that's what I mean, because 4 was so cool of a, like, surprise. And I have so much, I've been reading up on the little facts and everything of Scream from superfans. But I'm like, yeah, actually, it's crazy, because there is kind of this formula, like, I'm surprised in Scream 3, there was only one killer. Mm-hmm. Every other Scream film, there's 2.
Yeah.
So, I'm just, it's interesting, but anyway. Because
they broke one mold to solidify another one. They basically broke the formula of the first 2 to say that we're now a trilogy and we're going to wrap it up the way you do a trilogy. You go back to the original and you enlighten the viewers on stuff that they didn't realize. Basically, you do some retconning to make sure that the third one explains the actions of the first one.
That's another reason why I love 3. I love how I'm, like, defending 3 on this episode. It's Scream 3 all the way. No, but I love it because they really do spoon feed you. It's kind of the same as 2 because of Randy. But Randy shows up in his video mm-hmm. after death.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And he does it again in 5, which is just amazing.
In his own weird way.
Yeah. 3 is an interesting actual, I don't know much about Wes Craven. I wish I should watch, like, interviews with him. I don't know, but it's too many things of real life that when I think you watch it, when I watched it as a younger person, I was like, whatever, this is just Hollywood. Mm. It's like all that shit about, like, the mom having to make her way in Hollywood, and that's a whole storyline in Scream 3, and it's actually produced by Harvey Weinstein. I don't want to go there, but it's like,
so is
that's such
else,
a
though.
Parallel.
Yeah.
It's like, do you think that the writers or directors were like, let's put that in? Like, it's just all these realistic...
Yeah, I think it's a sign of, like, a changing tide. It's like mm-hmm. the creators kind of knew that they were trying to work into the art form, like the struggles that they were having.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think they were being heroes, but I just think it's like, this is literally what happens.
They're being meta about it, which Scream has always done.
That's what I mean. So it's so cool. So we get spoon-fed, like, this is what happens in the third horror movie, like, and this is what happens. I just love that about Scream 3. It is very meta.
Okay, so let's talk about why 5 would make the bottom of the list. So this is the one that just came out.
So 4... I actually really, it's tied 4 and 5, but I just kind of felt like...
Well, that's how I felt about between 3 and 4.
Yeah, because I felt, well, me, I might need, like, your convincing, really, because, but 4, it's like, it was such a fun, total homage to all 1, 2, 3, and it's like, oh, these are 2, it was so millennial of being like, these 2 people want to be famous, so that's why they're going to do this.
And they're trying to
me, that's very realistic. But they kind of repeated that in 5. As I'm just talking about the killers. Talking about the killers. I loved 5. I actually really loved 5. But if you're talking about the reason for being a killer, it kind of is like, are you just, it's the same again as 4. Or maybe I'm wrong. But their reason was to be famous. Like, their reason in 5 was to kill to, like,
it's
get
weird.
The attention.
It's weird because...
Or they're, like, just more psycho. I don't know.
Because, like, if 4 felt like an homage, like you said, like, to just what happened maybe in the original. Like, 5 to me, it was like a blend of 1 and 2 almost. It was weirdly similar to 4 while still being different enough.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I said I'm just talking about the killers.
And that's, I don't know if it's recency bias, but, like, I put 5 above both 4 and 3. Mm. And that's just because I think, like, for the first time since maybe the first 2, I was like, this is a Scream movie that feels like it knows what it wants to be. Like, this is a Scream movie that, like, is a Scream movie through and through.
Totally.
And they were being super meta, don't get me wrong. But so,
but, no, but that's,
but
like,
it's
that's
always
Scream.
Been meta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. That is Scream, yeah.
So, it's like, in a weird way, like, 4 almost overreached with its meta-ness, and 5 found it, like, struck, like, a nice balance.
Yeah.
And I like 4 as well, so 4 is my number 4. I thought it was a cool return to the original cast, and I liked the supporting cast, and I liked a lot of this stuff with, like, the fake-out in the beginning and all the alternate scream deaths.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, I think it was just a well-made movie. Like, the production value was high.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really probably why I give it the edge over 3. Yes. Because I think 3, like...
3 did not have the production.
3 had, like, this, like story that you either get on board with or, like...
Or just drop it.
Or drop it. But, like, yeah. at the very least, they tried to wrap it up in a trilogy. Whereas, like, 4 didn't really care about being part of a trilogy or anything like that. It was just, like, we're doing Scream again. Like, da da da. And
yeah.
5, it's weird. Because 5 feels that way, too. But I don't know. It hit me in a very genuine place rather than, like... It felt more real to me than 4 did.
Yeah, yeah.
4 felt like almost like borderline parody of...
Oh, yeah. No, Scream. I get what you're saying, for sure. But I think from where I'm coming from, I felt like maybe I was around that kind of age of those people when it came out. And I was, like, like, it was so relatable. So it actually kind of felt like, I just remember feeling like, oh, yeah, this is, like, pretty real for right now. If I look back, I don't think that, but at that time that I saw it, I was like, yeah, like, true. Like, I just really got it. So yeah. I think it does also matter about, like, you know, it's like Harry Potter, when, like, at my age, people grew up with it or whatever, you know. So
yeah, so we both have 4 in the 4 spot. You've got 3. I've got the newest one, and I think that the reason why I think, like, the barometer for why I thought 5 was so successful is we know we got 6 coming out. We mentioned we're going to talk about where we think this franchise should go. Mm-hmm. I think, like, if 5 had been my number 5 or lower, like, just not worth my time, mm-hmm. I would not be excited about 6. And I would not be afraid to say, like, this franchise should be just done with. Because, like, if you can't keep it going in a meaningful way, then just cut your losses. Mm-hmm. Because... why just keep coming, just because of money, like, for money reasons? That's why they do it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, make something worthwhile in the process. And so, number 5 did that for me. It kept the franchise alive. Mm-hmm. And it's number 3 for me. And it just, it makes me look forward to number 6 and go, okay, what can we get next? And can it be better?
I know. And
can it crack the top 3?
This is what I wonder because of what I'm saying about 4 and 5. It's like, can it be better exactly? And... what in the hell is going to make it be so crazy? Especially without Nev Campbell and Dewey. I love how I just use it. Whatever. Sid and Dewey. But, like, And then there's also these other things that I found out that I really want to say, and I don't know how to, like, integrate them, but there's so many hilarious little, like apparently Courtney Cox, like, fought. I don't know if you know this. But she really fought for her Gail Weathers role. Like, okay. Literally wrote a letter to Wes Craven being like, I can be a bitch. Because she was so nice on Friends.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, people were like, oh, she's just nice, sweet.
And great.
She's such... yeah. She's literally Gail Weathers. Like, that's who she is. She's not Monica to me.
No, for sure.
That. She literally wrote him a letter and was like, no, I can be a bitch. And, like, she lobbied for that role. And it's like, thank God he did, because you're probably going to be in 6. That's what I was leading to. I think she'll be in 6, right?
I hope so. And I think, like, the fact that you're talking about Gail Weathers is, like, she's the kind of... it's funny because, like, they're siblings and friends, but, like, Ross is, I think, one of the best actors on that show. I just think that, 100%. Like,
I mean, they're all
you love to hate him in a lot of ways for a lot of
reasons. But he's such a good actor.
But, like, he's actually putting out so much gold. And I think, like, Monica does that too. I mean, they're all good on Friends. Mm-hmm. But she does it in... she shows her range in the Scream franchise. She shows that she's not just, like, a funny, like, quirky roommate. She can also be a bitch, like she said. But, like, I think she showcases that in the first 2 films way more so than the rest of them. I think, like, I wasn't a huge fan of her comeback in 4. Her role in 3 is, like, blended with, like, the whole Parker Posey angle and, like, all that other stuff. So, like, she really gets to shine for me in the first 2, where she's doing, like, her investigative journalism and, like, yeah, she's trying to be, like, you know, the queen of the news world, but, like, she's trying to make a buck. But she's also, like, genuinely, I don't know, she feels like a genuine character, too.
Oh, 100%, so, yeah.
So, like, going into the top two, I mean, for both of us, I think it's going to be the first two, right?
Yeah.
We've got Scream on top, Scream 2, number 2. And I think we watched Scream 2 recently, and it's just so clearly, like, the fact that they made these movies, 96, 97, it was like a direct follow-up. It, you know, took Sid from high school years to college years, and we got the great scenes in, like, the film class with Mickey and Randy, and, like, everything about 2 felt like a proper sequel to Scream. And it had a nice twist that paid homage to many classic horror films, like, you know, Friday the 13th, and yeah, just like,
well, just great stuff. Is it Scream 2? No, I think that was Scream 1 actually, with Wes's cameo.
Oh, yeah, that's in Scream. The original.
That's the original, okay.
And I always thought in that one that it'd be funny if like neither of the killers got the principal, it was just one of the kids.
Kate, yeah. I want to talk about that. Wait, I want to talk about the principal dying, like,
Fonzie, right? Yeah, yeah. With Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler. Yeah. So, this is such a funny thing about Wes Craven that I found out. He threw major shade to Santa Rosa City School Board. So that's the school board with the school, Santa Rosa School. That was supposed to be Woodsboro High. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
They pulled out being like, we do not want like a principal dying in our halls, like that to be our message. I'm not even kidding you, the shade. He goes, in the credits of Scream, I haven't seen this myself. This is thanks to an article on Digital Spy. Thanks, Erica Russell. But in the credits, no thanks whatsoever to the Santa Rosa City School District Governing Board. They had to use, like, a different school hall. They had to, like, oh my god, I'm dead. Like,
what? Pretty sure I saw Ghostface in my old elementary school. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, oh, and then on that note, why Ghostface, the name?
Why?
Yeah, like, what do you know about that?
All I would suggest is that the Scream mask is inspired by, like, the original Scream painting, it seems. And then on top of that, it's, like, a white ghost face. So I would just assume
it just looks like a ghost face. It looks like
a ghost face.
Yeah. So, and that's what I was, like, so confused. Because I'm like, this is something that is only mentioned once in the first Scream. Tatum, again, Rose McGowan, best character. Why did she have to die? She's like, oh, Ghostface, like right before she dies.
Yeah,
oh, Mr. Ghost, please, Mr. Ghostface, don't kill me or whatever.
And that gets his nickname?
Yeah, but that, I guess that gives him his nickname. That really sticks. But this costume in the 90s was a real life, go to Spirit Halloween and find this costume there. And on the package in the same movie, in Scream 1, Dewey brings the costume copy, like, from a store to his chief. And it says, Father Death. Like, that's the name of it. So it's just so interesting to me because this is such a, again, so, like, meta and mind messy because it's like, wait, so we're all calling it Ghostface because Tatum did, and that's, like, it seems like that's, like, the cool thing that stuck. But that was a real costume. I'm just trying to, what I'm picturing is, like, it's 95 before the movie comes out, and you're at a Spirit Halloween or whatever the Halloween store is at that time. And you see that costume, and what does it say on the thing? It always has a name.
Yeah.
And I think it said Father Death, which is just so interesting. So it's so cool that something in real life has taken on a whole name and a whole meaning.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, so Scream.
Yeah, and you could get why it might be called that, or did they change it because they didn't want to show the real packaging?
But they showed the real packaging in Scream 1.
But, I mean, did they change it from what was found in the store?
True, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
And that's an interesting point. Like, did they know that they had a banger on their hands? Why would the production team choose an existing mask rather than coming up with your own and try and market it that way?
Yeah.
But an interesting thing about that is that mask, the second that movie becomes popular, is readily available. People can start
That is the thing, and then that again makes a meta thing leading us into the second movie.
Yeah.
But I just want to mention before we get carried away, which we always do, that costume was in a movie before Scream. That I read this, and I'm so sorry that I don't know the movie name. This is also from that same article, a Digital Spy article by Erica Russell. I don't even know what it's called, so it's
shout out Erica Russell.
Yeah, Erica, you're helping me.
Fueling but, squibbling rivalry. For years to come.
It's all about those fans. But, no, but, like, literally, it was in this other scary movie or, like, franchise or show, and it was called The Peanut-Eyed Ghost.
Wow.
But think about the eyes. They look like peanuts.
They do.
So, I'm just laughing because I'm like, okay, this is already a thing. So, it's such an interesting part. I think it's such an interesting part of the movie. It's like, oh, they just went, and you're right. You can buy that now. You can do whatever. Or you could already. So then, and then, again, the meta aspect of going into the second movie where everyone owns it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, do they just own it because of Stab? It's so connected to real life and their timeline. It's just really interesting.
And, like, thinking about, you know, circling back to Halloween, because that's what triggered our conversation in our little Halloween episode here. But, like, it's weird because didn't they choose, I could be wrong about this, but didn't they choose a William Shatner mask initially? And then as the Halloween movies evolved, they made production, obviously, came up with. So, okay. I think it was a William Shatner mask that they chose initially, and then they would have obviously created spooky mask variants of that. But, like, it was just like this, they, like, took an existing kind of weirdly warped, cheap imitation of William Shatner, and then beat it up and did whatever they needed to make it spookier.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I think that that's kind
of how that's why there's hair on it.
But with this one, it's just like something inspired them. Like, they saw it on the shelf. They're like, oh, this is like a Halloween mask I can wear, and that's going to make it scary.
And I just want to say, I think that when you're saying it inspired it, actually, now we know, anyone who's listening to this could know, the movie was inspired by the Gainesville Ripper. It was inspired by a real murderer. I actually never knew that. And there's a whole documentary out right now. So we have to watch that. We have to reconvene. Yeah. I gotta know more. The Gainesville Ripper sounds made up. Like, obviously, I'm not. Like, of course it's not. But I just am like, oh, it sounds like it should be Scream. Like, yeah. That does sound right. Like, so it's really cool and weird. And that's where it was inspired by. I just found out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So our second favorite Scream movie being Scream 2. All-time favorite Scream movie, the original Scream in 1996. No surprises there. We'll probably do a whole episode of breaking down the original at some point down the line. However, we began talking about Halloween, so let's close on by saying, first, where do you think the Scream franchise should go headed into Scream 6? And what of the Halloween franchise overall? Did you enjoy 2018? Did you think it was a nice finale, even though we know they've made sequels? Are you looking forward to more Halloween after Halloween ends? So are you, like, what are your thoughts on a future Scream film? Because I know they're working on number 6.
Okay. I really think that it just sounds so cheesy, but I think that they should kind of do this back in the 90s, like, other actors' versions of everyone and, like, somehow go back for some reason. Do some spotlight on some one moment that's important. Maybe it's the cheating with the Billy Loomis's mom and her dad and her mom and Sid's mom. I don't know.
So you want it to be a period piece and go back?
I want a period piece.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I think I want a period piece.
That'd be cool. I think that
maybe not yet. Maybe that's later.
Cool idea for like a 7, because I feel like right. 6, they've already probably nailed down the cast and you're probably right. Some returning characters and whatever. So I would just say this. Scream 5 gave me the same vibes as I got from Scream 1 and 2. So build off of that. Take whoever's left surviving from that film and try and lay a foundation for a 2-3 film franchise going forward so that we can keep Scream alive. But I would love them to bring Stab back into the mix, because that is a very meta reason why we love this movie, is because it's about horror movies and it's about the hype that goes into them, the creation of new additional horror movies that follows. And so Stab is a great microcosm of that, just basically saying, like, in Scream 2, they were already making Stab 3, so maybe in Scream 6, they're already on to, like, you know, into the dozens of of Stab movies,
and
right?
Bring back more Easter eggs from Halloween. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
What number is this?
What number are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
Well, I think you have the wrong number.
Do I?
It happens. Take it easy. Hello?
I'm sorry, I guess I dialed the wrong number.
Well, so why'd you dial it again?
To apologize.
You're forgiven. Bye now.
Wait, don't hang up.
What?
I want to talk to you for a second.
They've got 900 numbers for that. See ya. Hello?
Why don't you want to talk to me?
Who is this?
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn at the movies.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween. You know, the one with the guy in the white mask who walks around and stalks babysitters?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Guess.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that the one where the guy had knives for fingers?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's right. I like that movie. It was scary.
Well, the first one was, but the rest sucked.
So, you got a boyfriend?
Why? You want to ask me out on a date?
Maybe. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
What did you say?
I want to know who I'm talking to.
That's not what you said.
What do you think I said? What? Hello?
Look, I gotta go.
Wait, I thought we were gonna go out.
Nah, I don't think so.
Don't hang up on me.
Shit. Yes?
I told you not to hang up on me.
What do you want?
Talk.
Well, dial someone else, okay? Listen, asshole!
No, you listen, you little bitch! You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand? Yeah.
Is this some kind of joke?
More of a game, really. Can you handle that? Can you see me?
Speaking about horror movie Easter eggs within Scream, a few that I loved. I didn't realize, but I lie in both the original 1978 Halloween and the first Scream. They go, you know, Drew Barrymore is murdered, and the parents go, no, the dad goes, go down to the street to the McKenzies. That's actually also what Laurie Strode says as a babysitter in the first Halloween. So a little nod there. Another cool thing is Linda Blair, who is the possessed little girl in The Exorcist, she's actually in Scream as an obnoxious reporter going, the one that goes, the people have the right to know. And then two actor weirdo things that I love to learn about Scream is that Drew Barrymore literally called 911 a bunch of times and screamed for real because the prop master did not unplug the phone. The police were like, excuse me? They called back and were like, what are you doing? Like, literally.
That's crazy.
And then other thing that's like creepier and weirder and a little more Halloween-esque is Sydney, as in Neve Campbell. Not once, but twice actually stabbed or like hurt someone that she was attacking on scene because she missed their padding. And I'm just thinking, if that's more than once, there's a bit of a scary issue there.
So then, speaking of Halloween, did you like where it ended up? What are your overall thoughts on 2018? And do you want to see more?
It was was so good. I think they should end it right there. But also, I'm biased because you hate Halloween Kills. I almost think I'm gonna watch it.
We
right
should
now.
Do a follow up episode, yeah, breaking down kills and ends.
But everyone's gonna know my true colors of how easily audience I am. Like, I will probably like Halloween Kills. I think it should. From seeing Halloween 18, end it there. End it there. That was great. That was so great.
But that's how I felt about H2O, and you actually liked the way that they spun it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm an easy audience. Yeah. But you can get me. You can get me. So yeah. I'm different. But yeah, that's why it's Squiggly Rabbit.
So, like, with H2O, I felt like it was definitely in Scream territory. A little bit cheesier than what we got with Scream 1 and 2.
That's what
but
I was talking about.
Definitely a year later, you can see the kind of inspiration that Halloween got from the Scream franchise being within the same studio, which is hilarious because Scream got a lot of inspiration from the original.
No, but that's,
so,
yeah.
So it's just like this weird cycle of like reinventing yourself. And then H2O feels like a nice little trilogy if you ignore everything else. Mm-hmm. But I do like that 2018 just feels like a sequel on 1978. And it's just like a 1-2 punch and then it's done. We all know there's two more movies coming. But, you know, we'll get that to that in a future episode. So yeah, we're gonna hold off on the Squibbling Rivalry segment on our debut back since the pandemic. We're gonna get into a Squibbling Rivalry segment in the next episode. Woo. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds good, Squib.
All right. Well, thanks to all our Squibs out there who have returned to us from the great beyond.
All our Squibs.
And we look forward to hearing from you about what you think about Scream and Halloween, and hope your Halloweens are safe with no crazy things coming out of your candy. Trying to eat.
Enjoy that candy.
All right. Halloween out. Spooky out.
Spooky.
Thank you so much for listening. We absolutely love talking about this stuff. Please follow us at Squiblings on Twitter. That's Squib, like S-Q-U-I-B, Lings, L-I-N-G-S, inspired by Squibs from Harry Potter and the fact that we are siblings. So please give us a follow. And please give us comments. Thank you.
Adios.